So today's lesson, I will take it from the book of John, from the book of John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. The book of John, first chapter, verses 1 through 5. And it reads as thus: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Father God, we just ask now that you come into our hearts, come into our minds, and reveal your light. That you open us to receive your message for your people, guiding us back to you, that will help us follow closer your light. Lord, I ask that you just consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. In the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus, amen. Amen. A seed of light. A seed of light. We think of seeds, we understand what they are. You put them in the ground, something grows. But it's interesting how nature uses seeds, because they're built into things, right? A watermelon comes ready-made, has its own seeds. Fruits have their own seeds. Trees, when they bloom, they drop their own seeds. So God has put into nature to automatically reproduce itself. Right? It's in the design of creation. But on the spiritual aspect, these same things kind of hold true. There's a seed, a spiritual seed, that God shines through us. And in the scripture here, we find God planting his spiritual seed. We find John reflecting on what it is, the seed that God has used as a light for mankind. And so, we're going to discuss his spiritual seed. And the spiritual seed has three aspects to it for our lives. The spiritual seed, the light of it, it's a light that is inspiration. It inspires. It's a light that gives life. And it's a light that reveals things. It inspires, it gives life, and it reveals. See, a few years ago, when I got the call to ministry, and as many ministers, they go and you join a church or you get busy in the body of Christ, and I did those things and became an associate pastor. And one of the things I did is every Sunday I would sit on about the second row and listen to the pastor preach. And he believed in a ministry of presence, which is a real thing, you know, just being accountable. People see you, they get to know you, they trust, right? It's presence. But me being young and excited, on fire, I wanted to do more. I wanted to do something. And so I wanted to get outside of the church, right? I wanted to go out in the community and really start to touch people's lives. And so I got some friends. My wife, she's local, and she has a big network of friends. She's real popular, you know. She was popular kids in high school. And so I tapped her. I said, hey, you know, let's get some of your friends together and let's do like a back-to-school drive. She said, sure, no problem. You know, she gets excited and everybody gets excited. We do a back-to-school drive, and then we do a toy drive. And then it comes the idea, well, God starts showing me how it's affecting the people who are doing this. I mean, sure, we go out and we help people, and they're impacted physically, right? They're blessed. But what I saw was the people who were doing the giving were blessed even more, right? Because something happens when we get outside of ourselves, when we do something that's selfless. We give to someone else who's in need. There's something that happens to us on the inside, right? And so we started this nonprofit, and we called it Growing Seeds, right? Growing Seeds. Thank you, Karen. And the idea was that God has planted a seed in each and every one of us, and that seed is growing. But what's happening to that seed? How are we helping this growth process? What are we doing to help God's spiritual growth of our seed? And these are some of the things we do to help spiritually grow. We give. We give back. And see, that's what God does. See, in the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now, see, that sounds like a misnomer there. What do you mean that the God was the Word and the Word was with God? How can it be with Him and be Him at the same time? Well, see, John is trying to paint this picture just to understand that God is both divine, but God became flesh, and He was fully both. He was all human, and He was all God at the same time. And see, the first thing in the beginning, however far back you want to make the beginning, you know, science has tried to carbon date when the universe began, and that's fine, whatever. However far your imagination can take you. In the beginning, right, what happened? It says that there was the Word. The Word. And this word in the Hebrew is very significant because the Word is what God uses all throughout the text to speak, right? He speaks to His prophets. He speaks to Mary. God uses the Word to translate. The Word in the Bible, the text, the actual written Word, right? We use that to communicate to God. He speaks to us through His Word. And so here we find in the beginning, there's this Word. But it's not just alone. The Word was with God. The Word was God. God embodies who He is, and He multiplied Himself. The first thing He did was multiply. He made Himself. Why would He do that? He did that so that He could go out and expand. He knew that in creation and evolution, that He was going to need to be in all these places. And so He began this process of multiplication again and again and again. You know, science says there was a Big Bang theory, right? Where something happens. There was a spark, and there was an existence. Well, God was inspired to do something. He was inspired to make the Word. And that Word was life. That Word became not just life in the spiritual realm, but it became life in the human realm. That's where we find Christ. Christ is that Word. He became flesh. Jesus is the Word walking around among us. He inspires us to do things. He inspires us to want to be more. See, inspiration is the initial act that we have. We think of something, right? We have a thought, and we're inspired. We may not see it all through. Some things we do, some things we don't. We pick and choose. But that initial inspiration, this is where we find God. That spark, right? And He begins to work things through us. But it's a process, just like with the seed. A seed is a process. Everything the seed needs is built inside of it, but we can't see it. We don't understand how it works, but we plant that seed, and it begins to grow. And after a while, we see the results of that growth. Something pokes through the ground. We see a leaf, and we know that that seed is growing. Something's happening. And just like in our lives, we have a thought. We begin to put that thought into action. We do things. We want to see it come to fruition. Well, so it is with our spiritual seed, that light inside of us that shines. That light is our life. It is our DNA. You know, science has our DNA code, and now we're genetically, we can manipulate our DNA and do things, and everyone's getting the moral ramifications of that. But the spiritual aspect, the light is our source code. That is who we are. That is what God is manipulating through our day-to-day. He uses that light to bring us life and bring us life more abundantly. Scripture says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. See, he is the life. He is that light. When he came through Mary's womb and it became flesh, this light that was the beginning of all creation came down through the annals of time and put itself in this little bitty physical seed, this human seed. And when it was born, it was vulnerable, just like me and you. It needed protection. It needed a mother, a father, needed someone to take care of it, to raise it, to nurture it, until it become on its own. See, it was human, just like us. It was vulnerable. It was tempted. It went through all the things that we have to go through. But yet it was God in its form. And in that example, that's how we see in ourselves. We carry this same light. We have the same light that is our life within us. But we don't always use it. We don't always recognize it. Reminded when I came back, I lived in New York for a few years, and I came back home. I was a grown man, almost 30 years old. I had to go back home and live with my mama. It's not how the story was supposed to go, right? I mean, nowadays, they all do it, right? Now it's no big deal. No one wants to leave home. Like, I'm staying forever. Which is fine. No problem. I'm not judging. But I felt I wasn't going back home. And here I find myself back home in my mother's room. And I was depressed. I was sad. I felt like I had failed. First chapter of my life of trying to go out and do something didn't turn out the way I thought. And I would sit in that room and I would sleep all day. I wouldn't even come out. I might come out and get a meal or something, maybe. But I was sitting in darkness, had the blinds closed, TV on all the time. And I was content. Didn't want to see anybody, didn't want to socialize. Just having a big old pity party. Me all by myself. And then I remember my mother came in and she put a note on the TV, on top of the TV, a little yellow sticky pad note. And I saw her put up there. I didn't pay any mind. And I didn't even read it. Sat up there for probably about a week. I didn't even look at it. I didn't care. And then one morning she came in and she had the nerve to crack the blinds open a little bit so that light would come into my room. And I got upset, you know. Light. I was in darkness. I was in a dark place. And after a while, looking at the TV with that note on it, I finally began to actually look at the note and actually see it. And I got close and I actually read it. The note said, "You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." That note probably sat up there for 2 weeks before I actually read it. But in that time, God began to do something. See, I was in this darkness, but within my darkness, I still carried his light. And when I realized that I had that light still, that no matter what this world had done to me, no matter my failings that I felt were failures, No matter how much non-success I felt I had, the things that I didn't achieve that I wanted to achieve in this world, regardless of that, there was still a light inside of me. And when I read that note, that light woke up. And my mind remembered who I really was. That I wasn't measured by this world and my achievements in this world, but I was measured by my relationship with Christ. I was measured by my love for Christ. Because when I remember my love for Christ, when I remember who I am in Christ, then the world has no choice but to see my light. The world has no choice but to recognize that this person is different. There's something else about this guy. There's something else about this person, the things they say, what they do. There's something else that's a little unique about them. What is that? And it's because I walk in the light, that beautiful light. And so we have to look within. We have to realize our inspiration comes from Jesus. We have to realize that our life being comes from Jesus. And then we have to finally realize that the world is revealed to us through his light. It says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Oh, it's like if you strike a match, you're in a dark place, you strike a match, the darkness can't put the light out, right? I can blow it out, but the darkness can't. We shine a light, the darkness can't do anything. You take the light away, sure, darkness. But if I bring light into that darkness, the darkness has to give way. You're out camping. I like to go out and camp sometimes. I don't get to do it now because I have a family, but I used to, I promise. But you go out camping and you can all go into any log, especially in foliage, fall time, you lift up a log and what is it? All kinds of good critters under there, right? Squirming around. And what do? They go nuts. They go, what has happened? What are you doing? Why'd you move our log? Because I have brought them into the light and they're not used to that. Well, that's how we operate in the spirit. We hide things. We have things in our lives that we want to just keep in the dark. We want to keep it hidden. Keep it low. Don't let anybody know. Even those closest to us, we just don't want to let them know about that. I'll just keep that to myself. But when we bring things out into the light, oh, God takes care of them. He reveals them. He gave me that lesson by being married. If I say one thing I've learned about being married, it's much easier to just tell the truth, especially when you're married to a cop. She's not literally a cop, but she's my cop. And I love her for it. But it's true. You try to hide things, right? Oops, I burned the pan. Well, let me throw the pan away and throw out the trash and put the trash out on the curb. That takes care of that. No, where's my favorite pan? Like, she's not going to miss the pan. What happened to my pan? Pan, I don't know, did you? It's probably down under there somewhere. Right? And then it's on and on and on. It's much easier just to bring things in. Now, that's a small thing. But we have really deep things that we hold on to. And when we hold on to those things, we keep them in the dark. They just weigh us down. They're just weighing us down. And we bring them into the light. We let them out. God will take care of all those things. Because when I was scared to tell the truth because of the ramifications, I mean, not that she's going to hit me or something, but you know, happy wife, happy life. I wanted my life to be happy. But what I found is God has such grace that when I would just say the things, she would understand. She'd say, oh, well, let's go get another pan. Oh, well, that was easy. That was no problem. But see, God works like that. The Spirit works. The light works just in that way. if we allow him to have that space. See, we want to keep control, right? We think we know the circumstances, the consequences. But if we just do the right things, even when we do the wrong things, if we handle them the right way, God will show up. He'll be there. He'll take care of all those situations. But a lot of times we just don't have good self-awareness. We just don't understand things. We have to examine ourselves so that the light can reveal to us what we need to understand. I had a good friend, a pastor up in Washington, and she was a new pastor at a church, and she's very outgoing and very progressive, very modern, and the church was a little traditional. And so she felt that she could go first Sunday and wear a skirt. And it was above the knees, a little shorter than normal. And so there was a few little recommendations after church that she not wear a skirt in the pulpit. Well, she called me up. She didn't understand. I cannot believe these people, you know, da 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 da. This is about the church and God and da da da. I don't understand. And I said, well, you do understand that there is a time and a place for all things. And maybe God's just saying for this group, at this time, they're not ready for short skirts, at least not from their pastor in the pulpit. Now, to me and you, yeah, no kidding. That seems no-brainer. But that's a self-awareness to that, right? She didn't understand that. And in my job, we always say, well, you don't know what you don't know. So if you don't know better, you don't do better. But if we let the light come forth, if we realize who we are, that Christ is inside of us, among all this darkness, among all the things we try to hide and keep down, if we just go within and let that light come forth, it will transform not just our lives, but the lives of those around us. So I told you before about growing seeds. Do this part and then I'm done. I was telling you about growing seeds and how we started that thing, and we were doing 3 or 4 events a year. It was going great, had a lot of momentum. And then I had a second kid. And the second baby, the little baby, she was a little different than the first. The first was all quiet and calm. Then the second one, you know, it's always different. They're all unique in their own way. She was a bit more of a challenge. And so the nonprofit kind of lost its momentum, right? Other things happen. And so we kept doing the events, but it didn't have the same outpouring necessarily. It wasn't as organized, I should say. And so a year went by. Me and Kelly were still doing the events, and we would get people involved. We would still call people up, hey, you want to do this? Sure, we'll do it. But it didn't have that same, seemingly, on the outside, it didn't seemingly have the same growth. But you understand that the point of it, my initial point of it, was to inspire people to give back. That was the point. The point was to inspire others to want to do things for other people. That was the whole point. And so, yeah, I didn't see it growing in the sense that what we were doing, our little events, they weren't necessarily getting bigger. But this is what God did do. Other people who saw us doing it started doing it on their own. Someone else started their own nonprofit. 2 or 3 other nonprofits, one for cancer, one for kids with special needs. And so they weren't a part of what we were doing, but they were inspired by what we did to do it on their own. And that's how it works. That's how God works. I don't need my nonprofit to have all the glory and get credit and all these things. That's not the point. The point is to inspire others to realize that we do more when we give, when we let that light shine, than we can when we're just stuck in our own little darkness. Amen?
Amen.
As the band comes back up,